You are listening to episode 44 of the Sunday Shakeout, featuring some of my best nutrition tips for runners. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Shakeout. I am your host, Nicholas. This episode features a deep dive into nutrition for distance runners. I'm here to shed some light into the world of how to fuel your body for optimal health, performance, and recovery. I'll be delving into my day of eating, some of my biggest nutrition tips that can help any runner, and how I would change my diet for the better. Now, you might be asking, why talk about nutrition? Well, runners, the purpose of this episode is to equip you with the knowledge and strategies necessary to properly fuel your body and recover faster so that you can maximize your running potential. If you are new to the Sunday Shakeout, let me give you a quick rundown. This show is your go-to source for in-depth training analysis, valuable training tips, unbiased and reliable physiology and science, and so much more. Whether you're a beginner taking your first strides or an experienced runner aiming for new heights, the Sunday Shakeout provides you with the information you need to run faster, stay injury-free, and most importantly, stay happy on your running journey. So, let's lace up those shoes, hit the road, and dive into the world of nutrition, a topic that many runners have questions about. Without further ado, please enjoy my guide in nutrition for distance runners. Nutrition, look, I mean, it's a crucial aspect of running performance. It aids in better recovery, better quality training, and improving your overall race results. Now, this podcast today is going to be kind of a blanket overview of nutrition. I'm not going to get super duper specific. I'm kind of going to give my biggest nutrition tips, but I definitely think that anyone can apply these to their training. Anyone can apply these to get better and to fuel their body properly and so that they can achieve their potential, perform better, and ultimately train more. Because if you are able to fuel yourself and get the proper nutrition necessary while also recognizing where you are in your running journey and how that relates to what you need for nutrition, if you can take all of those factors into account and put them together, it'll create something beautiful, especially if you can master the nutrition. So keep that in mind when I'm talking today, because nutrition is different whether you're a teenager like me or a 40-year-old, like you're a master's runner. Nutrition becomes different for everybody, so keep that in mind as well. But once runners get a good understanding of nutrition, training becomes so much easier and fatigue will just decrease significantly. Life will be so much better. Now, obviously, I'm in high school. Well, it might not be that obvious, but I am in high school. I just finished my fourth week of freshman year of high school. And I find that getting in quality nutrition, and especially enough calories, and we'll talk about that briefly here, but getting in quality nutrition and enough calories is absolutely critical performance. And like I said, for me, since I'm a freshman in high school, I'm 14 years old. Nutrition, the first priority is about getting in enough calories, because I'm running a lot, and so because I'm running a lot, I need to recover from that by getting in enough calories. But I also need a lot of calories because I'm growing. Like, the average runner as an adult does not need like a surplus of calories unless you're running 100 miles per week, maybe like more than 40 miles a week. But I'm growing right now. Like, I literally grew like 2 inches over the summer. In fact, I go to a Catholic school, a Jesuit school, and so we just had mass this Wednesday, and I wore the clothes that I wore for my 8th grade like graduation thing for the mass, and this 8th grade graduation was like 3 months ago, and so I put on the clothes for mass, and I'm not even kidding, the dress pants were like on the verge of being too short. My button-down shirt was like almost too small, like it was down to just the wrists, like the very end, like almost too small, like you could almost see my forearm. Like, I have grown 2 to 3 inches over the summer, so I have more priorities for fueling than just running. So if you're a teenage runner, you really need to be focusing on calories, and that is the first thing you need to also take in other things into account, like the protein and micronutrients and like timing of meals and carbohydrates, and you should have a general knowledge of all of this other stuff. But if you're a teen, I think that calories eating is the most important thing in general. If it doesn't matter how much you know about all this, if you're not getting enough calories, then everything goes to waste if you're a teen. So please, if you're a teen, get enough calories in. And a lot of this is based on like a lot of like runners in high school have eating disorders. I mean, that's just the trend. Like, people are like, they see these pro runners on TV, they see Eliud Kipchoge, they see that he's like so skinny, and they're like, well, I need to be that skinny to be that fast. And then that's just not true. Like, you're growing. Like, if you're an adolescent, you should not be worrying about hitting a certain weight or trimming down before a race, because if you're doing that, you're counter, like, it's oppositional to growing. Like, you're not gonna grow if you're trying to trim weight, if you're trying to get down to a certain weight. And if you can't grow, if you can't go through puberty correctly, like, you're not gonna get faster. So it doesn't work that way. And I think it's proven that high school sports, I think the number one sport that has the most bone injuries is, I think, girls cross country. The second is football, which is actually pretty surprising that girls cross country is above football. And then the third is boys cross country. So please, I beg of you, if you're in high school and you're a runner, first worry about getting enough calories. That is crucial, because that is the only way you're going to be able to do three things to the best of your ability. One, perform well in running. Two, grow, which we've talked about. And then three, perform well in school. You know, school can be stressful for high school runners, you know, especially since there's hormones and all this stuff. Like, school can be a roller coaster of emotions and requires a lot of calories to get through it sometimes. So keep that in mind. Don't worry about hitting a certain weight if you're an adolescent. But, you know, regardless of where you are, there are some nutrition guidelines that you should follow. And I find, you know, I've heard that the older you get, the more into your 40s and 50s, the more crucial it is to really buckle down on your nutrition, because the younger you are, the more you can get away with simple mistakes. But as you get into your 40s and 50s, it becomes really crucial to really dial in everything, because your body is at a point where it really needs to maximize every single ounce or every single calorie so that it can perform still at the age or at the ability level that you used to. So I kind of want to go through my average day of eating first before we get into the nutrition guidelines. And then later, once I have gone over some of the nutrition tips, I'm going to go back and try to improve or try to give some suggestions to myself to improve my diet a little bit. And hopefully after you listen to this video or this podcast, hopefully that after you listen, you can maybe take away some stuff and also maybe take a look at your diet and see if you can maybe change it up a little bit. But just know that you shouldn't be so strict with yourself. You really don't have to be perfect when you're eating, especially, like I said, if you're an adolescent. But, you know, if you can clean up your diet a little bit, it will go a long way. Your running will go so much further and it's gonna be a lot better. So let's get stuck into it. I think the morning for me, I wake up at 6 a.m. every morning, because school starts at like 7:40, so I need to wake up at like 6. But I wake up at 6 a.m. every morning. I have a very, very simple breakfast. 2 pieces of whole wheat bread, spread some peanut butter on both, and then I put them together and boom, you have a peanut butter sandwich. It literally takes 2 minutes to make. It's pretty good nutritionally. I mean, it's pretty good. And it's tasty too, you know? Like, some people don't like peanut butter, but if you don't like peanut butter, I don't know who you are. Peanut butter sandwich, can't go wrong, you know. With that, I normally have a banana, a glass of water. Big tip, always have a glass of water before you leave the house in the morning. So, so important for hydration. I made a whole episode on hydration. You could go check that out. But in the morning, peanut butter sandwich, a banana, glass of water, and that's really what gets me going. And then lunch, for me, is normally around either 10:50 or 11:45. It really depends on the classes that I have that day. I usually have a PB&J and a cup of apples or a cup of pretzels. And I think that's an okay lunch. It's not the best, but if I have a big workout later in practice, say I'm doing a tempo run later in practice, I think that a PB&J and either a cup of apples or a couple of pretzels, I know that will really fuel me well, and we'll go over how I would change it a little bit later based on the day and how I maybe could change it in the future. But sometimes if I'm still hungry after that, I'll have a bar, sugar-free. Sometimes it's a protein bar, sometimes it's just a bar. But, you know, so far you can tell it's pretty laid-back diet here. Now, pre-run, school gets out for me at about 2:40. And so I immediately get out a Stinger waffle and eat it slowly, and we'll get into why later, but I essentially just eat it slowly to, just to maintain good blood glucose levels. Practice starts at 3, and we're normally running by about 3:15 to 3:30, so that's normally how it goes for me then. And then post-run, normally I eat a Clif Bar and an applesauce. Easy, simple, pretty good. Good protein, good simple carbs. And then dinner is probably the healthiest meal of the day for me. It's the meal where I really refuel the best I can. A third of my plate is usually vegetables, whether that be salad, some roasted carrots, whatever. And then I'll normally have some sort of grain, like maybe rice or potatoes. And then the final third of the plate is normally a meat. Anything from pork, chicken, turkey, pot roast, just some sort of lean meat. And that's normally my dinner. And then I always have this habit of having like a nighttime snack. So I get to bed at about 9 o'clock every night, but I normally have a little snack at around 7 or 7:30. It's just a habit. I'll normally have an apple or maybe a small piece. It's this, my mom makes this really delicious thing. We call it oatmeal bake. It's essentially this like oatmeal mix that you like put together in this bowl, and then you put it in like a huge like pan, like pot, whatever, not pan, like it's sort of like a pan, I guess you could, I'm not good with that kitchen terminology, but you put it in this like pan sort of thing, and you spread it all over, and then it's like this oatmeal baked dish. It's like a sort of like a cake pan, I guess you could say, like a square cake pan. I don't know how you'd put it, but it's like she spreads it all over. It's really healthy. And so she splits it up into like ninths, I think. And so I'll have this one piece of it. It's really healthy. It's got oats, berries, bananas, cheese seeds, cinnamon, honey. You can't go wrong. So I'll have a small piece of that, maybe an apple, and that'll be my nighttime snack. And so that's basically my day. I, you know, start the day with peanut butter toast or peanut butter sandwich, PB&J for lunch, Stinger waffle, Clif Bar, and then like some healthy dinner with oatmeal bake in the evening. So that's my day. Now let's go over some nutrition tips. I think that the first thing that we're going to talk about is protein. Way too many runners do not emphasize protein and healthy fats enough in their diet. They're all about carbs, 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 and it's just to fuel their runs. And while runners do need to have a carb-focused diet, meaning they should, you know, focus mainly on carbs because carbs obviously are our source for energy, we should still be greatly prioritizing protein intake because protein is absolutely critical for muscle growth and repair. You break down the body with a hard workout, a long run, or a race, and one of the only ways to build the body back up is to get in enough protein. And as you get older, protein intake becomes even more crucial because you become even more prone to damage, recovery time gets a lot slower, and so protein is really, really key. Now, some people say that getting around half a gram to 1 gram per pound of body weight per day is what you really need to be aiming for protein. If you Google it, that's what it's gonna say, but honestly, I would say that 0.5 grams per pound of body weight is just too low, because for me, that would be like 50 to 60 grams of protein, and that's not a lot. That's a protein bar, a tablespoon of peanut butter, and 8 ounces of meat. That's not a lot of protein, and so I think that runners instead need to be thinking in the range of 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, and you know, don't be too exact, just get lots of protein in. I think that meat is the best way to get protein in. I'm sorry, vegans, it just is. Don't eat the fake meat, that's just disgusting. But look for the chicken, the turkey, the lean pork and beef. Just look for some lean meats and some, you know, some people like dairy too. I like this one type of yogurt, Oikos Triple Zero, it's pretty good yogurt. But look, just dairy, lean meats, it's that simple, because, you know, you can become vegan if you want. I'm not gonna stop you. I'm not gonna, like, reach my hand through your iPhone and start, like, going through your fridge and taking out all those lentils and all those beans. I'm not gonna stop you if you're vegan. But just know that you have to figure out how to get enough protein in, because if you don't, your running is just gonna simply fall to pieces. And it's all about balance. Like, you don't need to be on the carnivore diet and cut out vegetables and cut out everything but meat. You don't need to be vegan and cut out meat. You don't need to be keto and cut out carbs. So it's just about balance. Like, it's not that bad. Just try to get protein in. And one of the best and easiest ways to get protein in is especially in snacks. Like protein-rich foods. You can get cheese, nuts. I know that there's these little turkey jerky sticks that I buy, or my mom buys for me from Trader Joe's. I think they're called Chomps. they're really good, like 10 grams of protein per pouch or per stick or whatever. And it's just having these protein rich foods throughout the day can be really helpful. And then for me also, these can really help avoid sugar cravings, and they can also provide a more sustained source of energy than snacking on those foods, and that can just cause crashes and overeating. So that doesn't mean we should, you know, be, I think that having a carb focused diet is key, but we should also be focusing on protein too. I think protein consumption is also, you know, it's just really key. And all I'm saying is that for snacks throughout the day, I think protein is a great way to go for that. Now, I kind of want to talk about timing of meals and training. I think that timing of your meals is really, really important, and that has a great impact on your training. And for me, I really have no choice because I just kind of have to go by the schedule of my school. I kind of just have to eat lunch whenever lunchtime is. I have to eat snacks whenever I get to eat snacks. But timing of meals become especially important, especially in the morning, and also if you're doing an evening run, because a lot of times it can be really hard to time meals for an evening run. And I will make a mini episode featuring a talk about pre-run nutrition, but the rule of thumb is that you need to eat a complete meal 2 to 3 hours before a harder workout, and then 10 minutes before taking a small amount of carbs. Maybe it's just 40 grams, but don't take it all in at once. If 10 minutes before you take a 25 gram gel all at once, because your body does not need 25 grams of carbs, you ingest it, your blood glucose levels go up too much, your body will release insulin, and there will be a dump. So maybe if you do take in 10 minutes, and if you do take in like 40 grams of carbs 10 minutes before, maybe you spread it out. So every 6 to 7 minutes, just take in a little amount of carbs. It may only be 8 grams. Continue doing that until you start the session and then into the warm-up of the session. The big idea is you really need to be eating 2 to 3 hours before and then micro-dose those carbs little and often. Don't take in big chunks, but just micro-dose little and often. So the plan would be if you ate 3 hours before, the next 2 hours and 50 minutes is just water, a pinch of salt, and then a hydration tablet. You know, like you might have water and you put in a pinch of salt and a hydration tablet, but make sure that the hydration tablet is sugar-free because we don't want to be messing with our glucose levels. That'll just cause a big insulin rise and there'll just be a huge dump. So if you do have an electrolyte thing, I like Noon. You know, you can go get those Noon electrolyte tablets, you know, Whole Foods, Target, wherever you get them. And that could be really helpful. Now, that's for a harder workout. Now, if you're just doing an easy run in the morning that is under 45 minutes or an hour, like let's say you get up at like 5 a.m. because you have to do a 5:30 run. I say that if you're just doing an easy run that's under like 45 minutes, you can just wake up, have maybe some coffee with a little bit of milk and a glass of water, and then you can pretty much just go out for your run maybe 30 minutes later. Of course, you don't have to do this, but it really teaches your body how to burn fat as fuel, and that can be really helpful, especially at the marathon distance, because at the marathon distance, there will be a point for most runners where you bonk. You run out of carbohydrates, and so if you can delay that point of bonking, that point of fatigue where you can start to conserve your carbohydrate stores as much as possible, that can be really helpful, and you can start to teach your body how to do that in training via your easy runs. But overall, you know, timing and getting your blood glucose levels is critical. Like that way you can optimize your performance. And look, everyone is different, so it's really crucial to have a highly personalized nutrition plan that really depends on training schedule and upcoming workouts. But it really just all comes down to discipline. We really need to be practicing discipline in our food choices and habits to improve overall performance. It's also really crucial to develop consistency and better patterns in our nutrition, because consistency leads to improved performance and predictable training results. So constant nutrition supports better energy levels, faster recovery, and overall performance. Keep that in mind. But you know, timing of meals and training, those are just some of my tips. You can kind of take what you want from that. But overall, 3 hours before a harder workout, you take in a meal, and then 10 minutes before, you kind of spread it out and you take a little bit of microdosage of carbs. So we've talked about protein, and we've talked about timing of meals and training. Let's talk about I want to kind of debunk the carb loading myth here. I would bet good money, and I would actually like to see this happen, that if someone organized a dinner, and I'm sure there's been like a scientific study done about this, but I would bet good money that if someone organized a scientific study where they took maybe 10 runners to dinner, while at the same time they took 10 just fitness enthusiasts to dinner, and at the same restaurant, same gathering. Let's say at the restaurant they had two menu options. You could either have pasta or you could have salad. And again, there were two groups, runners and the normal fitness enthusiasts. I would bet good money that over 50% of the runners, and even close to 75% of the runners, would choose pasta over salad for their dinner. And I would also bet that less than a third of the fitness enthusiasts would get the pasta, and that most of them would get the salad. Now, the point is, there was a big misconception about carb loading in the running space. There's this thing that's like, the night before a big race, you have to have 3 bowls of pasta, even if it's just a 5K. You know, I think that carb loading is completely misunderstood, and I think that many runners think that it's just consuming as many carbs as possible before a race or event. However, it's not about excessive carb consumption, but rather it's about a strategic approach to fueling the body for upcoming training or races. And many runners think they need to do this for a small races, like a 5K. They think, oh, I need to have these 3 bowls of pasta before a 5K, just because, you know. But it really, in reality, it's not really being necessary to be carb loading for a small race. Maybe that's just a 5K or a 10K. You really don't need to be doing that. Sure, you can have a bowl of pasta the night before. I'm really not against that. But you really don't need to stuff yourself. Just eat until you're full and satisfied and call it a night for food. You're not going to bonk in a 25-minute race. If that's how fast you run a 5K, you're not going to bonk in a 5K. So just chill on the carb loading. But I feel like a lot of the times, most runners don't carb load because they think they need carbs. But they carb load for this dopamine release. They carb load because, you know, it's fun. It tastes good. I mean, who doesn't like a bowl of pasta? But, like, I feel like it's food should not be just for a routine or for a dopamine release. Food and nutrition should be about fueling the body, and it should be about promoting training and racing goals. So if you do need to carb load, there is a more strategic process to just downing 3 bowls of pasta the night before a marathon. But if you're just doing a small race like a 5K or a 10K, I think that we runners need to start adopting a slightly different approach, especially if you're running less than 30 miles per week. Because you need to eat according to the energy needs of your running goals and your training. And if you're running less than 30 miles per week, there's really nothing special. You really don't have to be eating so much. You don't really have to be doing so many different things. You just really need to get the equivalent of exercising like the average healthy person should. And so, having said that, you know, runners, even though we don't really need to be doing anything super special, I do think that we still need to be focusing on getting in enough calories to support training. And you know, we runners, we shouldn't be actively restricting our calories. If you're hungry, and it's not just craving sugary foods, but if you're actually hungry, then eat. It's not that complicated. Eat until you're full. And if you're not hungry, don't eat. Of course, unless of course you're not, you know, you're fueling for races or runs. But you know, you really shouldn't be focusing on carb loading unless you're doing a marathon. And if you are, I'll probably make a podcast in the future about carb loading, but it's not something that we runners need to be focusing on mainly unless you're running a marathon or an ultra, like I said. And nutrition doesn't need to become that complicated, but we really need to be focusing on like getting in enough calories, but while at the same time not making it super flashy. So that's basically all I'm saying here. Now, the final thing that we really need to be focusing on as runners is fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are something that many runners overlook. And I'm not saying it's the most important thing, okay? Like other people are going to be listening to this being like, oh, he's wrong. Nobody needs fruits and vegetables. And while I do agree that, you know, fruits and vegetables aren't the most important thing, I do think that fruits and vegetables can be pretty important because a lot of runners simply focus on their macronutrients and they completely ignore the importance of fruits and especially vegetables. That is something that even I have to work on. If you can get in more fruits and vegetables, that is going to do absolute wonders for your longevity and running. The micronutrients in fruits and vegetables will do wonders for your energy levels and your recovery time. So every meal, try to get in some fruits and vegetables so that you can get in at least 2 to 3 servings of veggies per day and maybe like 2 to 3 servings of fruits per day. And that's really going to help. You know, it's not the most important thing in the world, but getting in these fruits and vegetables is something that a lot of runners need to work on. Now, I kind of want to talk about how I would edit my diets. Now that we've talked about maybe 4 main things, we talked about protein, we've talked about timing of meals and training, We've talked about debunking the carb loading myth, and then we've talked about fruits and vegetables. So let's get into this. I think that I can pretty much edit my diet a little bit, but not so much, because again, don't be super strict with yourself, but always look for ways that you can slightly improve, and that can do wonders for your running. So like I said, every morning I wake up at 6 a.m. and have a very simple breakfast, 2 pieces of whole wheat bread, just a peanut butter toast or a peanut butter sandwich, banana, glass of water. I think that this breakfast, it's pretty good. It's okay. It's not the best. It's not the worst. It's pretty good nutritionally. You get healthy fats from the peanut butter. You get a banana, which is pretty healthy. The only complaint I have here is that there's really not a lot of protein here. You know, peanut butter, people say, oh, it has protein. Not really. I mean, it has some, like 2 tablespoons has probably like 7 grams, but 7 grams is not a lot. So I'm getting 7 grams plus like 4 grams per piece of bread. That's not a lot of protein. Like that's 15 grams. So if I were to edit my diet slightly, what I would do is instead of making 2 pieces of peanut butter toast, I would maybe make an egg scramble. You know, that's a good breakfast. Maybe I'll make 2 eggs and maybe I'll add in some turkey, some like in the scramble, I'll add 2 eggs, scrambled turkey, spinach, mushrooms, maybe some like sausage, just like a little bit of a scramble. Maybe I'll keep the toast, and that would be a really, really solid breakfast because we'd be hitting the macronutrients, we'd be hitting the carbs, we'd also be getting some protein in from the egg, some healthy fats, and then we'd also be getting in some micronutrients, some vegetables, and so that would be really good. And that's how I would edit that. I would, instead of getting a peanut butter sandwich, I'd probably get a little bit of an egg scramble, but obviously I don't always have the time to do that. But when I do, maybe that would be a good breakfast. And then for lunch, obviously I said I normally have something like a PB&J and a cup of apples or a couple pretzels, and that's an okay lunch. Like, it's not great, but I think it really depends on the day. So for example, if I'm doing a harder workout later in the day, like for example at practice, maybe we're doing a tempo run or intervals at 5k race pace, I think that is a great lunch. And the reason for that being is that if I have a workout like that later at practice, I know that that is something that will fuel me very, very well. But if I have an easy run, maybe just a distance run or recovery run, I don't think I necessarily need to have that. I think that it would be better in that situation if I maybe packed like a maybe more like a better sandwich, or maybe like a turkey sandwich. Maybe they have this really good Cobb salad that looks pretty good at my school. Maybe I'd get that instead. So maybe what I should work on is trying to vary my nutrition day to day, and that might be good. And then, so I would change that for lunch. And then I think pre-run is good, post-run is good, dinner is good. And then maybe for a nighttime snack, I could, instead of getting an apple and oatmeal bake, I can maybe get maybe a meat stick and oatmeal bake. And I think that would really increase protein intake, which could be really helpful. But look, I didn't really edit my diet there a little bit. I kind of just gave some minor suggestions, but I feel like if we can focus on getting some protein and maybe one more serving of like vegetables per day, I think that would be great, because a lot of runners do get the carbs in, but they don't focus on the other things. And running isn't just about carbs. So just know that it's also about protein and getting a good balance of everything. But that's all I got. Thank you for listening to episode 44 of the Sunday Shakeout. I hope this was very insightful, and I hope I gave some great tips on nutrition that you can apply to your own training. Big thing is, like I said, you know, carbs, they are important. We should be having a carb-centered diet as runners, because carbs are the main source of energy. We should also be focusing on other things, you know, balance, protein, healthy fats, fruits and vegetables, stuff like that, meat especially. And that is really going to be key, and that is really going to help us on our running journey. So keep that in mind, but don't be too strict with yourself. I think that getting an enough calories is the first priority for runners, you know, because if you're not getting in enough calories, that is something that is going to put you at risk for injury more than anything else. So focus on getting in enough calories first, and then after you've nailed that down, you can kind of start to, you know, fiddle with it a little bit. Say, oh, I noticed that I'm maybe adding too much carbs, and I maybe could start to maybe, you know, instead of adding maybe that extra carb snack, I could switch that around with an extra protein snack, and maybe that would be good. Or maybe be like, ooh, I don't have any fruits and vegetables throughout the day. Maybe I can add maybe a couple servings, but don't be super strict. Look, it's just food. It's not like the end all be all. If you've noticed, I think I've survived till now on a pretty decent diet, so I think I'm okay. But don't take it super seriously, but just recognize that if you can start to nail down nutrition, everything like everything in your running becomes so much better. So keep that in mind. But if you enjoyed this episode of the Sunday Shakeup, please consider following to or subscribing to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'd also greatly appreciate a review in Apple Music, Spotify, or anywhere else you find your podcasts. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me at thesundayshakeout@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. And thank you so much to all of my listeners for the support. You guys, again, are the ones who really motivate me to come back week after week. You guys are the ones who keep the lights on, give me the support, keep this a fun hobby that I like to do. Hopefully, I can continue to do this for years and years. We're only 8 episodes away from being to episode 52, which is basically a year. So that's pretty crazy. We'll probably do something special for that. But yeah, that's all I got. So peace out. This is the Sunday Shakeout.